Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh, people are not liking that on a Friday night.
Not liking you on a Friday night?
Well, they don't want me to be your best friend anymore.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they're
yeah,
salty.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that may, you know, maybe that becomes a reality show. Jason Smith searches for his new best friend. And you help me, like you step down from being my best. We do a whole thing, like WWE. Like you sit next to me as my best friend, and then like you take off the cape and the crown, and you put it down, and you know it's up for grabs with somebody, and then you know we do a whole thing finding my.
Come
next
on
best
in,
friend.
If you will, yeah. The battle for the new best friend title. Coming in from Minneapolis, Minnesota, he trained in the Ganya Dungeon all those years ago, the late, great Vern Gagne. Come on in, if you will. I love it.
These are all KD burner accounts that are saying they don't want you to be
but
my
we,
best
But we
anymore.
Could do that as a YouTube show. I think it would sell.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I think it can. I got ideas for YouTube shows for days, man. It's just like, you know, do I have to buy the clicks? Do I have to, like, buy the bots that are going
to
watch?
Well, what we need to do is just produce some content. And you know what? We're smart. We're funny.
Okay.
And I'm damn good looking, which means people are going to show up.
Listen, we can just cut to the chase. I just have to fight one of the Paul brothers. That's all I need to do. That's all I need to do.
Well, if you can go out of your way to agitate one of them to the level of fight, and I put in fight in quotes, because aren't there a lot of rules now for this thing with Floyd?
Yeah, aren't there? There's no ringside refs. There's rules,
like,
there's
also,
no ringside refs.
Yeah, and call your own, I guess.
foul. Okay, there's a foul. What if instead I fought Chris Paul? What if that was like a big triple bill?
I think there's a lot of folks that would like to see.
I could fight Chris Paul and see how that goes. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking of other people whose famous last name
is Paul. Was it Adrian Paul? Wasn't he the Highlander?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and we each would have to cut the other person's head off to
win.
Well,
there can be only one. You want to talk about something that's ripe for a reboot. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Cutting Pete. Yeah, okay. Look at that.
And so Queen, you can use all that old Queen music, which was so good. There's no time for us.
Hey, what about the sequel? One of them's going to cut the other guy's head off. There's no room for a sequel. It's one show. Make sure you get the shot. We're not getting a second chance at it.
Let's figure out how to get the Kurgan back in so Clancy Brown can come back in. Come on, let's go.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Before we get any further, I need to say this.
Yeah.
We have a no-hitter alert. This is your nightly no-hitter alert, courtesy of Jason Smith and Mike Harmon.
I'll tell you what, man.
And that's one to grow on. You know, it's like, hey, here's your nightly no-hitter alert. Blake Snell is no hitting the Mets through six. He has thrown 80 pitches, so right around the time we can stay in the game, as long as the next couple of innings go okay. But he is through six, no hits, one walk. It was a perfect game until Billy McKinney walked the last inning. So it is now a no-hitter for Blake Snell against what amounts to, you know, pretty much the Syracuse Mets lineup, not counting Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso. So the Padres, it's still a 1-0 game as the Mets come to bat here in sixth inning.
And let me say this, right? For everybody that does the, they're injured, this, whatever. You know what? The guys that are playing are still professionals. So I'm sorry your lineup's hurt. The ebb and flow of a season. Be glad it's in the early part of June.
Buddy, we're in first place. I'm fine, man.
But you got
Buddy,
all angsty
first
there.
No, I'm
you
just
wanted
saying,
to
I
make
want
sure
to know
you
that
pointed out,
you know,
all of the the lesser than guys in your lineup is the way you were kind of going there. And it's like, because you know what? They're now major league players. They're earning service time and enthralling America.
But I'm just saying, if you no-hit the Mets, who has a lineup with, you know, Peraza and McKinney and Williams and Brandon Drury and Kevin Pillar, who's just come back from getting hit in the face, that's three-quarters of your lineup.
But they helped Fernando Tatis Jr. to another home run.
Those are all AAA guys. And yeah, and the one guy did help him do a home run last night by letting it hit his glove and bounce over the fence. So I'm just saying, if it's a no-hitter by Blake Snell tonight, it's like, okay, he kind of pitched a no-hitter. If he gets it, it's he kind of pitched one. I'll give you credit that Madison Bumgarner's seven-inning no-hitter was more legit than if Blake Snell no-hits this Mets lineup.
You know
what?
You play who's up against you. Doesn't matter. Is it any less legit of the Suns putting a spanking on the Lakers just because AD was there? Nope. Scoreboard, baby. Scoreboard!
It's a regular season game. This is not play. It's a regular season game.
I'm talking about, I don't care who's there, who's not. Succeed and proceed. And if you no-hit them, good on you, Blake Snell. By the way, that Bumgarner should count.
You changed the rules.
You decided that it was going to be a seven-inning game. So you know what? Asterisk away. It counts. Jerks.
This time, it counts.
That's right.
So we'll keep you updated again. Blake Snell with a no-hitter through six innings. He is no-hitting the Mets through six innings. There are no hits. The New York Mets. Oh.
It's a final.
The no-hitter is over. Oh.
Laid one out in a nice piece of hitting by Lindor. He went down and got it.
Shocker.
Laser to left field.
Francisco Lindor broke up the no-hitter.
Lazy effort by Pham in left field. Bounces all the way to the wall, and that's going to put Lindor on third. He was hustling. He was motoring. Get down! Get down! No throw.
You know, you're not supposed to do that on the radio.
That wasn't live.
You made it sound like it was live.
That's the theater of the mind.
You're yelling, get down, no throw, when it already happened.
Yeah. It had already happened. I was enthralled to see the hustle, though. I love hustle plays. Hustle moments in games. Baseball, football, basketball, loose balls. Who's winning the 50-50 balls? That's who's winning. That's who's showing me heart.
I get it, but you don't have to call it like it's live if it's not happening. Marv Albert doesn't call things that aren't live. And yes, Chris Paul.
Did I get you involved in the play?
He made the shot 3 minutes ago, but I'm just getting excited about it now. Timeout. The Lakers want to talk it over.
Maybe people didn't know it happened.
You're interrupting my Marv Albert, and no one can understand what you're saying. Timeout, Mike Harmon. You need to talk it over. The no-hitter is gone.
It's funny because it's true.
So now the Mets with a runner at third and nobody out here at the top of the set. This is ripe for the Mets to get to not get a run this inning. Like, this is typical Mets baseball to not get a run. Lead off triple, they're going to leave them at third base. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Mets, yeah.
Because I know the Mets. We took care of that no-hitter. All right. Hey, listen, if you don't want no-hitters and think no-hitters stink and it makes Major League Baseball terrible, look what we just did. We ruined that no-hitter for you, okay?
Well, why don't we retroactively complain about Washington-Philly? It was a 2-1 game. Boo! Baltimore-Cleveland 3-1. What am I watching?
We will have more. That is the last no-hitter potentially of the night. All the other games have had runs. They've had hits. There is no more no-hitter happening tonight in the world of sports. While this is going on, we just had the Clippers win over the Mavericks 104-97, and it was a tour de force performance by Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi is 18 out of 25 from the floor. He goes for 45 points in this game to lead the Clippers to victory, and now they will see how Game 7 goes. Now, for everything about Kawhi Leonard, and is he overrated? Is he the same guy? You look at what he has done this series against Dallas, and you can point and say, yeah, what are you doing taking that ridiculous three at the end of the last game when there's 10 seconds left, right? Yeah.
Oh, the air ball, yeah.
Yeah, and Rajon Rondo was staring daggers at you. I get that. That's a legit criticism of Kawhi Leonard, and we talked about it while it was going on.
Yeah.
You know, so absolutely, but what he has done the rest of this series, I mean, he had 45 tonight in 42 minutes, right? He was 29-10 when they won Game 5, 36-8 in Game 4. He had 41 in Game 2, 26-10-5 in Game 1. He's pretty much done exactly what you wanted him to do. You know, you can't, so as much as you want, oh, but okay, that one time, yes, yeah, should he have taken that three? No, but boy, he has had a really terrific series. So this is not a case of, hey, here's Kawhi Leonard not living up to how he's supposed to be playing. This is kind of what you envisioned if you were the Clippers. Hey, we went out and signed Kawhi Leonard, and he is giving us this kind of production. He has been terrific in this series. And you want to say, all right, well, Paul George, you know what? Paul George, this first round against the Mavericks, has been exactly what you thought he was going to be, too. Every game he's had at least 20 points. He has shot pretty well. All right, he's made threes in every game. He's got a bunch of rebounds. He's, you know, he's averaging over 10 rebounds a game, 5 assists a game. I mean, he's 23-10-5. You are getting everything you need out of Kawhi and out of Paul George. So when you're looking for blame for this, the one thing you could do is the end of that game. Yes, Kawhi should have taken that. Didn't need to take that shot. Paul George should not have passed the ball to Terrence Mann and looked for a better play to try to win this game against the Mavericks where they came all the way from behind. But by and large, say, okay, those one moments, yeah, I get it, but overall, you're not even in the series without these guys. So yeah. You can criticize, yeah, I get those, the criticisms for those two things, and we criticize them for those plays. Those are plays in the heat of battle that the Clippers have to make better decisions on. But you've really gotten everything you've wanted out of Kawhi and out of Paul George so far. So it's not like you can say, boy, they really disappointed us here, and we got to circle these guys. They've done everything you've expected them to do.
Yeah, I think the only thing that stands out, and we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, was that earlier in the season, or series, I should say, you didn't get a lot of Kawhi trying to stifle Luka Doncic, right? You didn't see that. And the explanation was, we need him on the offensive end. And he's been fantastic. I mean, he's shooting 61% from the field, obviously 72% tonight, but he's been over 70% three of the last four games, right? He's had two clunkers, and everything else, he's been fantastic. Game 1, Game 5, right? Game 1, 26 points. Game 5, 20. Those are two losses. But the bigger issue was the fact that defensively, they weren't applying the same energy, the frenetic energy on defense. The rotations weren't as tight, and Luka was finding ways to operate and getting wide open three-point looks. Tonight, there was nothing. There was nothing until the end. You got a couple of gimme layups where he's looking around going, really, you're just going to concede another 2 points? So Luka finishing with 29 tonight, a little bit of stat filling at the end because the three-point shot was off. And look, the shooting percentage was fine, but none of them were makes when they needed to stave off a run. And big shots late when the game was still in doubt. So the energy defensively led by Kawhi Leonard, different for this game. And Paul George was more active, I think, all around in this one. But defensively for Kawhi, that's what I think was missing early in the series. And we'll see for Game 7, you know, the energy. Can they match that? Or are we going to have another road victory by Dallas in front of the cardboard cutouts?
Look, the thing about this game, and this is why I can be an NBA head coach, is because I told you after Game 5, what the Clippers need to do is take more care and pay more bleeping attention to Luka Doncic. The guy has been able to run around and do whatever he's wanted to the first five games of the series. I mean, when you have 37 shots in Game 5, you go to the free throw line three times, what are you doing defensively? I mean, you're allowing the guy free reign to roam and do whatever he wants, uncomplicated, right? You got to get in his face. You got to body him. You got to throw different looks at him, and you have to make him uncomfortable. And you know what? The Clippers did that tonight. There were times when Doncic looked like he was a little bit rattled or a little bit tired, and they finally figured it out after Game 5. Oh, maybe we don't let Luka Doncic just do whatever he wants to, and we try to step out of his way and point the way to the basket. Hey, this way, Luka. No, maybe it's time that you get a little bit more, and you try to clamp down on him because he's really beating you all by himself. And And what happened tonight? Luka Doncic had a pretty good night. Did he have an incredible over-the-top night? No. And what happened? The Mavericks lost. I mean, Doncic is doing this all by himself here in the first round. You can't say it's Doncic and it's KP. It's Doncic. No, it's Doncic all by himself, which tells you the bleeping superstar he is in the NBA. But this is all on the Clippers. I mean, they've played incredibly soft so far. So finally, they get a little bit of, oh, maybe we need to do this. And look what happens. They wind up winning the game. They go in, they win this game, and now it's let's bottle this and bring this out for game seven. And then you can win that game and move on to the next round of the playoffs. But it has been an epic fail for Ty Lue and whatever defensive strategy, epic fail that the Clippers have had so far this series. Now they finally get it a bit tonight. Kawhi Leonard switched on to him a lot for tonight, and it worked. And yeah. You could see that Luka wasn't quite the same maestro that he normally was. I don't get why it took so long for the Clippers to figure this out.
Well,
I understand.
I understand, like, when you start the series, the philosophy of, all right, he's going to get his, and don't let anybody else start to make shots, right? Because the only one scoring consistently has been Tim Hardaway Jr., but he's still shooting 41% for the series, right? Four games over 20. Tonight was his fourth, 23 in the losing effort, 9 of 19. The other three games he went over 20, they won. So you've had that where they've stepped up in spots. But Porzingis and others, you're not getting the consistent effort thus far. And so switching away from the, all right, now Luka doesn't get what he wants, and it's ratcheted up that where these guys have to try to help carry this load, much different impact. And trying to dump down to Boban was fun, but not the most effective. As you're trying to flow through 5-13, 12-9 for him, but you know, trying to play bigs didn't necessarily work for them either. So curious for game seven, can you get another effort, you know, from Kawhi Leonard? Because I think you're going to need another Herculean one, just the way they've not been able to keep this energy. But kudos to them for at least extending what has been a really weird series where nobody wants to win on the home court.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Just before you get back in the NBA real fast, because I asked you that question a few minutes ago. Blake Snell had his no-hitter broken up by Francisco Lindor in the seventh. He winds up with a single. It turns into a two-base error, so he's at third with nobody out.
Yeah.
And what did I say? I'm interested to see how the Mets turn this into no runs. And here's your answer. Strikeout, foul out to first, strikeout. And that's how the Mets turn a leadoff triple into no runs. There you go. I knew what the answer was going to be. I just didn't know how we get there.
If only you could have put together a parlay bet on the fly.
Yeah. I just didn't know how we were going to get there. It's like in math, if you cheat off somebody and just write down the answer, and the teacher goes, how did you get this answer? I just knew it. But you had to do like 11 different steps. You had to show your work. Oh, well, I didn't know how it was going to get there, but I got the right answer. Like, I knew the Mets were going to turn that into no runs. I just didn't know how it was going to happen. Is it going to be three strikeouts? Is it going to be a ground out? Is it going to be a pop-up and a fly? No. It was a strikeout. Foul out, strikeout. That's how it was.
You know what is really weird, though, not to go down this rabbit hole too far, but my older daughter, Eleanor, she has the ability to do that stuff in her head. And so she will just write down an answer, and you look, and there's no possible way she's copying it off or anything, right? The back of the book or anything. And you're just like, all right, they're going to make you show that, right? She goes, well, I got to write it down. I'm like, yeah, you got to write it down. They're not going to believe you. They're going to think you found the answer key online, which, let's face it, Google enough, you're going to find most things that you're searching for.
Sure.
Unlike you two, they're still looking for things. You, TJ, might be able to find it. So I think that's been a hard lesson as math has gotten more complicated. They really want you to show what you know now. Earlier, when it was just, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, that's fine. Now it's a big deal.
It's that new math, I tell you.
I tell you.
So big news in the NBA tonight. Yes, we have the Mavericks falling to the Clippers in Game 6. So now we're going back to L.A. for Game 7, a series in which, well, the home team hasn't won yet. And, you know, one thing coming out of this series, no matter what, right, because we'll get to the big news involving Damian Lillard coming up in a couple minutes, is that, you know, we're always looking for, hey, where's a place someone's going to go play? What's going to be the next destination for a super team, right? You know, everybody teamed up in Miami, it worked. They teamed up in Golden State, it worked. Well, they teamed up in Brooklyn, we're going to see how it works. There is some kind of team up with the Lakers. They won once, but now they got to retool it. So there's always like where it could go be. And I'll tell you what is going to be a 7-game infomercial for come play here is the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic, right? As much as he has become a star, and look, he's been one since he walked into the league, you look at what he's doing and having the Mavericks just this close to the second round of the playoffs when it's basically just him and a bunch of guys. Because look, Kristaps Porzingis tonight, 7 points in 31 minutes. Okay, Porzingis is clearly not the player that he was, right? The Mavericks got him thinking it's going to be Luka and Porzingis, and oh my goodness, we're going to be rolling over teams. You know what? Porzingis is just okay. So when you look at the rest of the roster, right, if you put your finger over Luka Doncic's name and go, man, the rest of that roster looks like what the Knicks were, you know, 4 years ago with Porzingis sure. and Hardaway and a couple other guys and Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, that's what it looks like. The Mavericks are the team to say, okay, I'm going to go play with Luka. I mean, I know it's his team, but this is where I think I can go win and go do it. That is a huge selling point. Look, Mark Cuban is very much a player's owner. He's someone that players have enjoyed playing for a lot in the past. And even though it's Luka's team and you're going in saying, okay, I'm not going to be the number one star in the city, but maybe that's okay with me because I'm at the point where I want to win. And you can go there and suddenly with one other good player, boy, how much better would the Mavericks be? Because it's not like Luka's one of those guys that he's not a shoot-first point guard all the time where no matter what, I'm going to shoot first, like Russell Westbrook. Like, I'll get my assist, but not before I'm done shooting. I'm going to get all my shots in first, then I will worry about it. No, he's somebody that can easily blend his game to fit what's going on, and that's really the next big destination. You're saying, where do you go play? Where do some young players want to go play? I'm going to go play, going to play with Luka in Dallas. That's the place, because it's wide open, right? Because everybody wants opportunity, too. You don't just want to say, I can go win, but where can I go be a really important piece of the puzzle? And you look at the rest of the team and you go, okay, yeah, how many is Porzingis even going to be healthy? Is he even going to play? Are they even going to want him there in a year? Yeah, I can go there and carve out my own niche and I can be very happy there. Dallas is really the next great place you want to go to say, I want to be part of the next great super team, because you got to talking about a kid that's in his early 20s and is going to be dominating the league for a long, long time. I mean, look, the guy just turned 22 a couple of months ago and look how good he is. You want to go try to win? That's the place to go.
Well, there's also tax advantages there, right? Mm-hmm. When you get down to it for Texas. So, I mean, that's an opportunity for you as well. So, no personal income taxes. Yeah, you've got some high sales and usage taxes that you have to worry about, but, you know, figure out where you're going to live and minimize those as best you can. But you're still going to be far ahead from New York, Chicago, L.A., etc. When it comes down to that, although Miami's going to fight you now, because look, they need to reconfigure that squad too. But we're not trying to fix them now. Now it's about Luka and the next phase here. You've still got Porzingis on the books for some crazy ass money for 3 more years: 31.6 next year, 33.8 the following, and then the last year of the deal, $36 million. So now it becomes a, hey, can you offload that, or is he just going to be the third guy with a huge contract? Would you believe right now Tim Hardaway Jr. is actually making $19 million a year? I would not have believed that.
He was making that money when the Knicks had him, when he stunk.
No, well, yeah, no. Back, look, with the Knicks, I believe that. But 18 this year, but he's a free agent after this year. And there's a lot that'll come off the books if you decide to go after that one big fish, as it were. But you got a guy that averages 9 assists a game. You've seen him. He's unselfish. You've seen it in the series, right? He's scored a ton, but he still has had his assist numbers. And tonight, shot wasn't falling and was looking to make the offense move. Give him credit for it, I guess, to some degree. But there were times where he certainly could have been more assertive than he was. He kind of shrunk away for a good chunk of this game. Like we talk about, guys don't like getting bodied up. And even though he takes a beating every game, this one felt different. Just watching it, just his response to it was not the same. But you need another body, and it's trying to figure out who you can get to come in, right? Because there's going to be activity, going to be buyouts, all that fun stuff, and certainly the opt-out season will be upon us, and the recruiting has already begun. Now you're recruiting against LeBron James. You can come be the next guy in L.A. You can work with L.A. with A.D. And you know what? With A.D. going to need some load management, you could be the guy when he's out. Pretty alluring. And then he'd be right down the street from us, too. So, I mean, you've got that going for you, too.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's going to be there because you know Luka's going to be there.
Right.
Right. That's the thing is that, hey, other places look good. All right. Yeah. Let's take a look. Giannis and the Bucks. Do you know that he's going to be there? Do you know that Giannis is really going to be there? Do you know that the Nets are really going to be together for more than a year and a half? I mean, really, do you know? All these places, do you know that Devin Booker is going to be a son forever? Do you know that Steph Curry is going to stay with the Warriors forever? But Luka Doncic, 22, in a big market, yeah, I feel pretty good that Doncic is going to play all of his career, if not the vast majority of it, in Dallas. So that's a really safe place to go to not worry about, oh, hey, in 2 years it's getting blown up and now I got to go someplace else and I'm trying to figure something else out. No, that Dallas is the place to go.
There was a great Mark Cuban interview a couple weeks ago, and a lot of it was on cryptocurrency and trying to teach people and everything else. But then in the middle of it, dude dropped in, is Luka always going to be a Maverick? And he goes, he better be. Like, you know, he's laughing, he's joking, he's explaining all this stuff, and then just dead serious stare at the camera. Yeah, he better be. All right, then.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo, greatness.
We now have Game 7. In the first round of the Western Conference, we will be looking at this on Sunday from LA as the Clippers and Mavericks go at it. First game in NBA history where the road team has won all of the first six games. So we're going to have this huge one on Sunday. Now, here's the thing about the Western Conference. Doesn't matter who wins this game. Right now, the Suns are the new betting favorite, right? The big story today that the Suns went from a 60-1 long shot. Now they're 8-1.
Well, the Jazz are still ahead of them.
The Jazz still ahead of them, but they went from 60-1 to 8-1, which is a big leap. It's like, you know, getting Julius Randle. He went from 60-1 to 8-1. So it's a big leap for them to become a huge favorite to get to the finals now. And many, you know, bookmakers and people are nervous. Vegas casinos are nervous because, hey, if you bet them at 60-1, here they are now.
But I don't think they have a lot of exposure, though, Jason.
Right, but
they got their money with the Lakers losing.
Yeah, true. With the Lakers, they did.
That was 45% of Western Conference, and we'll ask Bernie Fratto next hour what it was for the title itself. I mean, you're talking about a lot of cash already transacted.
Yeah, but they don't want to pay any of that back out, you know, we're making the money here, but boy, we're paying it back out. But the point is that here are the Suns who have become the big darling of the gambling media, and here are the Suns, and they're the new team that is now expected to go far and potentially win the title. The odds had to be shortened on them, or because everybody was trying to, or everybody would go in on the Suns, and that would bankrupt the casinos. But here's the thing. I fully expect to see the two teams I told you in the bubble whose eras were coming to be in the Western Conference Final, right? When we were talking about the NBA playoffs in the bubble in Orlando a few months ago, I told you the era of the Jazz and the Nuggets was coming. It was maybe a year or two away because clearly, look, the Lakers and AD and LeBron were going to win at least one or two more, and that was how it was going to be. And then as the Jazz and the Nuggets ascended, okay, they would figure it out. Well, that timeline has been jumped up because now the Lakers are in trouble, and clearly the Jazz and the Nuggets have figured things out. The Nuggets to the point where without their second best player in Jamal Murray, they're now into the second round of the playoffs where they fought off an extremely talented Blazers team. Their era is here now. Their young players are all locked up. They're staying. The era of the Jazz and the Nuggets are here. I can't see the Suns beating the Nuggets. It was a horrible matchup against the Lakers, and the Suns were just lucky that Anthony Davis was hurt. If AD was still healthy, the Lakers win that series. AD was very unaggressive in game one, and then he was hurt the rest of the series. The Suns didn't play great. It's not like the Suns lit the world on fire in that series against the Lakers. Devin Booker had the incredible closeout game, which shows you, hey, this is a guy that's really becoming and comfortable with being that kind of superstar. Give me the ball. I'm not afraid to take those shots. I'm going to keep taking those shots until you're dead, dead, dead. And that's what he did against the Lakers. But overall, the Suns are not that great a team. They're a horrible matchup for the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. Anthony Davis was going to do whatever he wanted to against the Suns. Jokic is going to do the same thing. It's a different skill set for a big man, but Jokic is going to be able to distribute and do what he wants to in the paint. The Nuggets are going to win this series. And no matter who comes out of this, Donovan Mitchell is back and healthy and playing great. I mean, people forget, you know, because he was out for a month and a half. Donovan Mitchell, is he still... Donovan Mitchell is still the closest thing we have to Kobe Bryant in this bleeping league. And the Jazz are really good. And they looked really good in that first round. And if you think that suddenly, they're going to falter, this is going to be the Jazz and it's going to be the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, because the Nuggets are going to be too much for the Suns. And the Jazz, really, if you want to do simple math, they have the most stars left. All right, everybody else has one star. The Clippers have two stars, but the Clippers may not make it past Sunday. The Jazz have a couple of big stars. That's more than anybody else.
Wait, you quit on your Clippers? Didn't you have them winning the conference?
I picked them to win.
Now you buried them?
Well, no,
they're not dead yet.
I picked them before the playoffs started. Now the playoffs have started. Things have changed a little bit.
You just decided you're done with them?
I expect to see the Utah and the Nuggets. I expect to see them now.
I dig that.
I had the Nuggets the first round against the Hawks.
Yeah, I had Nuggets Heat. But at least that was a long shot. Goes terribly. And then you got Milwaukee, Brooklyn. That thing tips off tomorrow, so that'll be fun. Phoenix. Look, I talked about them coming out of the bubble. The addition of Chris Paul, who still I would have thought would have gotten more argument for MVP than he did, but. You know, such is life. Lakers were defensively still fairly strong. They still met by a bunch of metrics. Were still solid, even with AD off. Scoring went to hell, obviously. Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But, like they say, succeed and proceed. Get to the next series. Denver's fun. I picked them just for that very reason. Michael Porter Jr., you saw him take over a couple of the games this last series. And his star is rising. And Jokic is unstoppable. You want to come out and get him? Well, he'll make the pass and works down in the low post and can hit threes. So, there's so much fun on the rise. You just wish there was a Willis Reed-like moment for Jamal Murray to be able to somehow, things extend, can he come back, please? But, also, Utah got to live in anonymity. Why? Late television coverage. And Mitchell is your number one guy, you weren't going to be able to sell. Look, they're maintaining their number one seed with Rudy Gobert. Not exactly a guy who is still warm and fuzzy to America.
Yeah, no, because those are teams that nobody really sees. As much as they're on, you get games on NBA TV.
Sure.
But again, it's NBA
but
TV.
But people are asleep.
Right, but it's the Jazz and the Nuggets, and is that really something that's more than the hardcore NBA fan wants? No, the average NBA fan, give me the Lakers, give me the Clippers.
Well, they like to hate
Nets.
Watch.
That's what they want.
Right? We were talking about it with Coach K. You're going to miss hate watching Duke.
Yeah.
It's different.
Can't hate John Shire. It's going to be too difficult.
And now, you know, LeBron's out, so you don't get to hate watch the Lakers.
Yeah.
Wearing your Michael Jordan stuff.
We will have more on LeBron being out and the effect on the playoffs coming up in a little bit. But straight ahead, I think I know exactly why Damian Lillard's going to stay put in Portland. So if you wanted him, you're not going to get him, Fox.